I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Sun and clouds today, the high reaching 76, mostly clear, and low of 52 tonight. If you're just joining us and wondering why you hear my voice, it is because Pony has lost a show bet. So it's Donnie Football and Chris Muller with you. Andrew Filippone and I switching roles for today's show. Trading places, if you will. Not the 1980s classic.
If you will.
But Andrew Filippone producing. And he's doing what I would say pretty solid work. Some very, very minor shadowing done by our guy Joel Nelson, who will produce for me from 6 to 7:30, just to make sure things don't go completely haywire back there. But Pony being a good sport about it, and also I don't think anything that really threw us off the tracks. A couple of little quirks in there.
I think there were a couple deliberate hiccups for fun early on. I will give Pony a lot of credit. Normally, if you produce the show, Don, you've got your debrief segment, and we'll bring you on here and there. But I think, you know, you pop in. You're maybe part of on-air, what, 10% of the show, 12, you know, 15%?
Yeah, I mean, I still, to this point, I try to do a pretty good job of not speaking until spoken to.
Correct. You butt in if you've got big news that you think we maybe didn't see yet, which has oftentimes benefited us. I wasn't sure if Pony would get feisty and want to jump on the mic, but he has suppressed... I think what I will call the Bechtoldian instinct to jump in on segments.
Bechtoldian instinct.
And I think he's done a very good job of that.
Yeah, we will have a grading scale of sorts during our hodgepodge. That's not until the end of the show, though, but we will go with a couple of fun little rubrics there. And also, Joel will give his own little review of how he thinks Pony did back there, but that is still some time away. We do have TRT coming up in about 30 minutes too, so get a chance to vote on that. Some good topics up for grabs there today, but I have a segment here, I have a topic here that, even though Pony is not hosting the show today, he would be very proud that I was able to dig this little baby up, because this is like vintage Andrew Filippone.
Okay.
He finds one little blurb, one little sentence, and he is able to run with it, and he is able to make it a whole segment that goes 15 to 20 minutes. And I think that is that's I'm saying that in high regard.
That's complimentary.
That's a very complimentary statement there, because Pony is one of the best, maybe the best, that I've ever met to do something like that.
All right, you can stop kicking his ass now. This, what is the topic?
This is something I saw yesterday. Sports Illustrated put out one of those. One trade every single team in the NFL should make. Matt Verderami. Is that how you say the guy's name? You think I'm saying that correctly? Verderami?
Verderami. Yeah. I've never tried to say it out loud, so yeah, but I know who the guy is. So I've read his work before.
He suggested a Steelers trade for a wide receiver, and it is the Steelers trading a 7th-round pick to Jacksonville for Tim Patrick, who has 2 receptions for 15 yards on the season. He had 1 catch for -1 yard in the game against San Francisco on Sunday. He did have a little spell in Detroit last year where he had a few touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the big trade that he thinks the Steelers could and should make as the season goes on. He cited the injury to Calvin Austin,
mm-hmm,
and that the Steelers don't really have anybody behind DK Metcalf. Where do you feel? How do you come down on that one, Mulsey?
Man, when you look at Tim Patrick and you just get like the old back of the baseball card look and you see 6'5", 210, whenever he's actually been healthy, especially early in the career, like years 3 and 4 in Denver. So when he was a late bloomer too. He didn't get into the NFL till he was 25. If you want to think about it in these terms, he breaks into the NFL in his age 25 season. By then, Juju was already like a grizzled veteran at that age. You know what I mean? Like Smith-Schuster, just as a precocious guy on the other end of it, had already played like 5 full seasons. So I find that part of it always kind of interesting with guys who are late bloomers. His 2 big years in Denver, though, man, like the numbers are very much classic wide receiver 2. 51 catches, 742 yards, 6 touchdowns, 53 the next year, 734, 5 touchdowns. He essentially had the same season back-to-back, and then blows out an ACL, blows out an Achilles, comes back and is 6th place in the Comeback Player of the Year award last year. He looks the part. Like, when you look at Tim Patrick, you're like, that should work. Like that is a big man who can still run. You would have 2 very big, very physical wide receivers in he and Metcalf. And the thing that gets me that I guess I find somewhat appealing about it is this. What's a seventh rounder worth to you at this point? To me, they're not baseball, you know, trade for a guy and then what you're giving up is player to be named later and it's a lottery ticket, but it's not far off. They're a little bit more precious than PTBNL type situations. I would consider doing it, but honestly, man, when you bring this topic up, you know what my brain goes to, and maybe this is how some of these pony topics end up being 15 minutes long because we go off in every direction. What, again, does it say about Roman Wilson? Now, I know this is a column written specifically with trades in mind. If Roman Wilson, though, had shown anything and given the coaching staff any reason to give him a chance to perform. By the way, Zach Azani's quotes about Roman Wilson this off week are very obviously code for this guy is buried on the depth chart. Like everything he said about him, we think we have good wide receivers. We just also really like our tight end room. No, that means this guy is buried. If Roman Wilson had shown a damn thing to this point, you wouldn't have Tim Patrick. They would be like saying Steelers should trade for some swing tackle who could fill in a pinch. Mm-hmm. I think it's so much a commentary on how Wilson, no matter what they say internally, has not done anything to even remotely impress them. I would do the deal just because I think the acquisition cost is incredibly low. And if you even get the version of Tim Patrick that showed up in Detroit last year, sure, I'll take that. Like, because I just think he's got a pulse and he's a big guy who can actually box people out and make a little bit of, you know, do a little bit of playmaking.
And speaking of buried on depth charts, that's what he is in Jacksonville. Now, Brenton Strange, the former Penn State tight end, he actually leads that team in receptions with 19. But you have Travis Hunter. You have Brian Thomas, who's had a disappointing year, I would say.
So is Hunter, man.
Given what he did. Yeah, I mean, Hunter, at least, he's a guy that plays both ways. So it's like, how often is he out there? Thomas, I thought he would have maybe not huge numbers, but I thought he would be off to a much better start.
It's very
12 for 164.
It's very weird that they're 3-1. Nothing about the way their offense has looked in I know they run the ball pretty well.
ETN has 6.1 yards.
I know he's run the crap out of it, but nothing about their passing offense, which was supposed to be what Liam Cohen fixed, has actually looked like it's fixed. But yeah, I know.
Yeah, they also have De'Ami Brown, Parker Washington, another Penn Stater. He's ahead of Patrick.
Would you do it for a seventh? I mean, you're doing it because the guy's 6'5", 210, and when he was healthy, could run.
I would for a seventh. I mean, last year they traded, a fifth for Mike Williams. So I think Williams had certainly a better football card to use, you know, that again.
But apparently he was like
Tim Patrick has. But then
apparently the gas tank was empty, though. The gas tank was empty on Williams. He's out of the lead. He's done.
Yeah.
I mean,
beyond that play against the Commanders, that was really it. And then the occasional sideline catch. But, I mean, Patrick showed that if he's at least used, he could do something last year with Detroit. But going back to the Wilson thing, it is rough. I mean, the guy played three snaps in a game where the wide receiver two got hurt midway into the game. He can't get on the field over guys like Scotty Miller and Ben Skoranek. Skoranek is a special teams ace, and Wilson still can't get on the field. I know that it was more of an emphasis on the run game, too, against Minnesota, but three snaps? I believe he had the lowest of anybody who played on offense in the game. There might have been somebody with one or two.
I think that it is a commentary that they just, I mean, granted, a game plan's a game plan. They want to go big, fine, and Skoranek's an unbelievable blocker, but I just think it kind of tells, it gives the game away that they say all these nice things whenever they're asked about Roman Wilson. He's coming along, and then they just don't trust him. Like, at some point, you've got to be willing to say, we're going to at least see what we have. They don't even, it seems like with the snap counts that you're mentioning, they think so little of him right now that they don't even want to put him out there for, like, the purposes of determining whether or not he'll fail. That's a rung below disappointing. That's like, we can't even trust you to be on the football field. Put it this way. Now, I know it's a different position, and, like, you kind of got to do it. They put Caleb Johnson, who made one of the all-time blunders, literally, in football history, put him back out there and at least gave him a handful of carries in a game that was in some doubt at that point, like, that they had to try to close out.
Yeah,
they won't even give Roman Wilson that.
Yeah, and Johnson, who did have that blunder, he's already done more positively for the Steelers than Roman Wilson ever has. The guy had, what, the one catch very late in the game against Seattle? I think by the time everybody was out of the stadium.
I don't know. I would do it. I can't have a discussion about this without thinking about why we have to have it and what that says about another third-round pick right now.
Do you go back to the George Pickens trade and have any regret? I mean, I remember that day after, and we know the headaches that that man caused on and off the field. You and Pony were in celebration mode, and my thinking was, yeah, he's a pain in the ass, but I'm not going there quite yet. You know, I'm not going to celebrate this because they're going to put themselves in the exact same position, and here we are.
Here's my potential cop-out answer. I think it's partly influenced by the fact that they are still 3-1 at this point. I have zero belief that the George Pickens situation would have worked here with them not trading him. If it's him and Metcalf, and I mean, we're already looking at DK Metcalf. I could go look up the target shares and everything else for him right now. Metcalf has, I would say, made the most out of a minimal amount of targets. He's only been targeted on average 5 times a game, and he's got 3 touchdowns out of it, right? The one thing I said right off the jump after that Jets game, I think, was that Metcalf didn't get a ton of looks, but you didn't see him pouting all the time, and it wasn't like a front page story that he was not getting the ball. I just refuse to believe that if you had kept George Pickens, regardless of what kind of gains he would give you or options he would give you in these situations, that you wouldn't have already been dealing with a pissed off George Pickens who is causing a major distraction. So, second thoughts, no, I would rather be sitting here trying to find out and wonder whether or not they were going to find wide receiver two with Austin down with an injury than have George Pickens here and guess or surmise that things would be better.
And even though I don't want to speculate and like predict an injury, that's not what I'm doing here, but we said one of the big issues if they go into last season the way they did and George Pickens would get hurt or something would happen, they were in a lot of trouble. That did happen down the stretch. I think the same is said for Metcalf. Like, just replace him in that sentence. I know that Metcalf is a better receiver, but they are pretty much screwed if he goes down.
Well, here's the other thing, too. I'll go back to this. Wither Pat Freiermuth, where is he? I mean, isn't he the guy that you're supposed to be able to split out and put maybe two other tight ends on the field? Aren't you supposed to be able to put Darnell Washington out there and then maybe have DK, Janu, and Pat as three receivers? who are all flexed out into different positions. I know that their line has been such that they maybe haven't felt this desire or ability to get creative, but I think we all agreed when we would have these wide receiver two discussions over the summer that their de facto wide receiver two was supposed to be Freiermuth.
Mm-hmm.
He's got
or
seven,
Jonnu Smith.
But he's got seven catches. Apparently you can't dance if you Jonnu, because he's averaging fewer yards per reception, Jonnu is, than Travis Etienne is yards per carry. They're using these guys as extensions of the running game. They're using Pat practically not at all. He's been targeted 10 times all year. I would do the trade for Tim Patrick, but it just opens up way more questions about how they've handled other parts of their pass-catching roster than it does anything else for me.
Pony, would you do this deal? Since this is a segment that was almost dedicated to you, something that
I'm
you
flattered
would find
by that,
and make into a whole top-of-the-hour segment, would you do Tim Patrick for a seventh?
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I would, but it wouldn't be the only wide receiver move I make. If that's ultimately all the Steelers do between now and the trade deadline to help their wide receiver room is take on another team's spare part wide receiver for the worst possible draft pick you can give up, then I will again feel like Omar Khan let the team down. That's not even Mike Williams for me, who's another last name player with Williams who was worse than Mike Williams who played wide receiver. Derek Williams?
What about the
That's Derek Williams. That ain't
about,
even Mike.
What about the USC Mike Williams who...
Right. That's right. There's even another Mike Williams who was worse than that Mike Williams. That's what that would be. Tim Patrick? Come on. Are we in it or not? Are we a serious football team or not? Your move can't be Tim Patrick. The Jacksonville Jaguars expendable player, they got the same record as you.
I think the problem,
I don't want their scrub.
I think the problem is that the guy all of us would agree upon being like, okay, that moves the needle for me and tells me they're in it and there's no long-term commitment is Jacoby Myers.
Yep.
But they're still a couple games away and losses away, I think, from you'd have to overpay for Jacoby Myers right now to get the Raiders to move on it at 1-3.
Ridley's the name that's getting thrown out there a lot now because the Titans are a dumpster fire again and his contract is not going to allow for him to be back there next year.
I'm not crazy about him. I've kind of cooled on Calvin Ridley, broadly speaking.
Fan text line, you can hit us up there at 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We can ask Ray Fittipaldo about this from the Post-Gazette. He joins us in just a few minutes right here on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Fan Hotline, that is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. On that hotline is where we find the one and only Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette, who is brought to you by the Western PA injury attorneys Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. Ray, if you are a little bit confused, Pony lost a show bet. He lost our NFL picks for the 2024 season, and I won, so I got to choose the punishment, and that was for us to switch roles for a day. Pony gets to see what it's like behind the glass doing the tedious producer work for 4 hours at a time, so that is why I am the one talking to you right now. Chris is still here in the exact same spot. He lucked out by being in the middle.
Got the easiest job in the world, Ray.
Donnie, I was going to tell you and Chris, it's the best show of the year by far.
Oh!
By
far.
That's not what you told me off the air, Ray.
Wow!
I'm trying to butter all you guys up.
Ray, we were just talking about wide receiver trades a moment ago. Sports Illustrated suggested the Steelers trading a 7th-round pick to Jacksonville for Tim Patrick. Does that tickle your fancy at all?
Well, I mean, Jacksonville's still pretty – I mean, they're still in it. I mean, I don't know. The vibe I get from being down the Steelers the last couple of days is, you know, Austin's probably going to miss some time, but it's not going to be for any lengthy period. And the other vibe I got was, like, they're having a hard enough time feeding Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth and everyone else. And I just think adding another guy to the mix, even if Austin is out for a couple of games, I just think it would complicate things, especially if it's just another guy. And, you know, I mean, Patrick at this point of his career, pretty much anyone you're going to get for a late-round pick is going to be just another guy.
Ray, what does it say, though, about, I mean, the fact that, granted, it's an article being written that's one trade for every team and so forth, so that's the theme, but yeah. If Roman Wilson had shown them anything such to get himself on the field, they probably would have suggested a different trade for the Steelers. I just can't help but see a story like that and immediately have my thoughts go back to last year's 3rd-round pick and how obvious it is that they just do not trust him.
Yeah, we got a chance to talk to receivers coach Zach Azani this week, and we actually got a chance to talk to all the position coaches. So, you know, just from talking to him, I kind of get the read that they're still trying to figure out his role and where he fits best. And, you know, I think I said this on the morning show yesterday. They know Scotty Miller can play all three positions. They trust him. The coaches trust him. Aaron Rodgers trusts him. Ben Skowronek is their best blocking receiver, and he's got the trust of Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not saying that Roman Wilson doesn't have the trust yet, but I just don't think he's veteran enough yet to sort of have that that connection yet with the quarterback or the coaches. So it's unfortunate. It doesn't look great for their drafting, but I'm not going to give up on Roman Wilson. I think he'll eventually find his niche here, but I don't think it's going to be very soon with Calvin Austin. I honestly think you're going to see Skowronek and Miller and the tight ends more than you see Roman Wilson.
I mean, I feel like when they drafted Wilson, it was one of the typical, like, we love the guy's football IQ and such. Like, he's not a huge guy, not necessarily the massive physical tools, but we love the guy's, like, football instinct. I mean, if you're not getting on the field, that tells me you don't have a great football IQ.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of going off on a tangent here, but one of the issues I have with the NFL and its IR rules is, like, Roman Wilson didn't get to practice almost at all as a rookie. And you're seeing the same thing this year with Dante Kent and Will Howard, if they keep them on the shelf all year. I don't think people realize or appreciate what that does to a player. And I understand why the Steelers did it last year. He wasn't in position to help them, so they kept him on IR. But not being on the practice field, he was with the team, but not being with the team in the sense that everyone else is, I think that sets you back a little bit. And Mike Tomlin always gives Calvin Austin as an example. Calvin Austin went through the exact same thing. He came out really good on the other side. Now it's up to Roman Wilson to keep his head down, come out on the other side just like Calvin Austin did.
All right, then I'll go back to Freiermuth specifically because given the contract and everything else, and I know they brought Jonnu Smith in via trade, and I know that they were very high on him, but the sheer lack of even – it's one thing to have Jonnu Smith's numbers where they're practically using him like a glorified running back with his yards per catch being like five. They've targeted Pat Freiermuth 10 times in four games, Ray. That is that's like DEFCON 1 for a guy that I think we all assumed would be their de facto second-best pass catcher.
Yeah, and, I mean, you didn't even mention the most important part. They had to go to their jumbo personnel with Darnell Washington and Spencer Anderson to get the run game going. That's why those guys didn't play all that much. So it just seems like they can't really run out of – their basic 12 personnel formation, which I think they thought they were going to be able to do, and they had to make that adjustment four games into the season. And, you know, I asked Pat Meyer about that the other day when we got a chance to talk to him. Is that jumbo package, can that be a staple for the offense, or is that something you just break out from time to time? And he basically said they saw a weakness in the Vikings defense, and they wanted to take advantage of that, and they did, so credit to them. But I also get the feeling if they see other mismatches or other weaknesses on other defenses that they're not going to be shy about going back to that package. And I don't know what that means for Jonnu Smith or for Freiermuth especially. I mean, Jonnu Smith, they brought him in here basically on a one-year deal. That is what it is. Pat Freiermuth, you invested a lot of money in this guy. He's homegrown. He's a second-round pick. To me, they got to find a way to get him going, and that should be most important to them during the bye week. They showed showed an urgency to do that with DK Metcalf before the Vikings game. Now I think they need to show an urgency and do that before the Browns game with Pat.
Ray, do we start to see more of a 50-50 split between Gainwell and Warren when he comes back after the big game from Kenny G?
Yeah, I get a feeling that's going to be more game to game. Like, if both are healthy, like, I don't think Caleb Johnson's going to be involved. So if both are healthy, you know, Gainwell's going to be in there on third downs no matter what. But I think, you know, they still like Jalen Warren. I think he's actually going to be okay for the Browns game. I don't get the sense that that's a longer term type of an injury. So that's the good news. I think they're really solid at running back with those two guys, and I think if you can get them into a really good rotation, there's no reason you can't be over 100 yards every game. Now, it might be like 60-40 or 50-50, but, you know, if they ran the way they did against the Vikings, whatever personnel packages you have to do it with, I think both those guys are capable of carrying the load.
Ray, this is not as much of a nuts and bolts question, so I'm asking you to project maybe a little bit or infer, having been around so many of these people for so many years covering this team. We all know what's going on with the Ravens right now. We all know what's already happened to the Bengals with Burrow, and the Browns, I think, even with a great defense, no one's going to take all that seriously. But specifically, the situation Baltimore finds itself in record-wise, injury-wise, specifically to Lamar Jackson, that injury, do you get the sense that Mike Tomlin is aware of the opportunity that is now in front of his team, especially if Baltimore, say, goes into their bye 1-5 and the Steelers merely handle their business and come out 5-1?
I don't think Mike ever looks that far ahead. Now, I'm not telling you he doesn't. He's not aware of what's going on in the division. They're all aware of what's happening. But I would bet more so than him thinking about the Ravens being 5-1. I think he knows deep down how good of a coach John Harbaugh is. And I think even with Lamar Jackson probably being out until after their bye, I think the Steelers probably know they're going to find a way to turn it around and not get in that desperate situation where they are 1-5. So that's kind of the vibe I get. I just think there's a lot of respect there between Mike and John, and, you know, from organization to organization as well. There's a lot of ties there. You know, Andy Weidel worked there. Now he's with the Steelers. So there's a mutual respect there. And just from my own personal perspective, I would be shocked, even though they got Cooper Rush, I would be shocked over the next two games that they're not at least 2-4. And depending on what the Steelers do, still in decent shape knowing that the back half of their schedule is going to lighten up, while the back half of the Steelers' schedule is going to get much more difficult.
Ray Fittipaldo, check him out. Steelers reporter from the Post-Gazette. Thank you, Ray.
All right, thanks, guys. See you.
Fan Twitter, you can follow us there. That is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Coming up, 5 minutes left to vote for TRT, Total Request Thursday. You can find that on my Twitter page. 5 minutes left, now 4 minutes left.
Participate. Participate in the democratic process, people.
And I got to tell you, folks, it is a close one. This one will come down to the wire. That is just a few minutes away. Next on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
5:30, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. 5:30 on a Thursday, that means it is time for TRT, Total Request Thursday. Guys, I got to say, I'm actually proud of myself for this one, because this has to be one of the closest finishes that we have ever had. Now, I don't get the amount of votes that Pony will get. I mean, Pony will get these babies in the 4 to 5 figures range. But for a poll that went 6 hours, did get over 500 votes. We did push for it. It came down to a tenth of percentage points on this one. So from last to first, because Pony normally does it that way, 14.4%. Did you want us to talk about the Super Bowl 60 halftime show performer, Bad Bunny? That's where he fell in. Third place. At 22.3%, maybe this is something that Charlie and I will save for a rainy day. Pro wrestling MVPs coming in third place. In second place, 31.3%, serial killer documentaries. There is a new monster series on Netflix, if anybody
is familiar.
Is that
about Eileen Wuornos? Or is it just broadly speaking monsters?
Broadly. Like, they will probably make one about her, because I know that
that was the movie. Starring Charlize Theron,
yes.
About her.
They will. I would bet that they make one about her down the line, but they've made one about Jeffrey Dahmer, the Menendez brothers got one, and now Ed
Gein. How about Big Ted Bundy?
He has his own. He has his own documentaries. He has the movie with Zac Efron.
Oh, yeah.
Zac Efron plays him. But they have the Ed Gein story coming out tomorrow, and that is starring Charlie Hunnam, the guy who played Jax Teller.
He was on Sons of Anarchy.
So that will be one that probably gets my viewership.
Has your algorithm ever shown you that one dude who just reviews Death Row Last Meals and then he puts him in tears? It's kind of weird.
I kind of like that.
He's like a chef type guy or a food influencer who's like rating this infamous killer's last meal.
I mean, I've looked up people's last meals.
And then he preps it and then eats it and then decides on like whether or not it was. Oh, yeah. He makes it himself because he's like a chef. And then he rates the meals. He's got like the S tier at the top. He's got the crappy ones.
Who's the bastard that just ate mint chocolate chip ice cream?
That might have been Bundy.
Somebody just said, "Give me a 2 gallon. Give me a tub of that mint chocolate chip."
I might look that up for the hodgepodge. I don't want to. I know. Big John Gacy. He got like a whole bucket of KFC and a Diet Coke.
Man, I don't know. I think if you're like that much of a psycho and sociopath, you probably don't have this thought. I don't think I could enjoy it, no matter how good the food was. You know, I'm sure the people who are making these last meals say, well, everyone deserves to go out with dignity, but I feel like I couldn't enjoy it even if it was my favorite stuff. I guess these people, since they're all serial killers, it probably doesn't apply to them.
Yeah, I mean, and there's also times where people will order the meal and then they just won't eat it.
Yeah, I mean, what if you just like, how about a pack of Zins? Give me a bag of Zins that and a bottle of booze.
There's no way it's the weirdest thing that has ever been ordered.
All right, so serial killer docs just fell short.
Very, very short.
I voted for pro wrestling MVPs, by the way.
31.3% on these serial killer docs, and coming in at an even 32%, just beating out serial killer docs, former Buccos in the playoffs. Mm. Because Pony put out a list last night, which I do appreciate, and I thought maybe we could do something off this. However, there weren't enough position players. Because I thought it would be a fun exercise if we made a whole team out of former Buccos in the playoffs. But I think there's only, what, like 5 or 6 guys that are position players. There's a ton of pitchers. You can absolutely put together a pitching staff.
Can you have a pitching staff from this group of pitchers, guys? Could you make a staff that if they're all healthy and at their peak might be the best staff going? You'd have Tyone. You'd have Glasnow
would be the ace.
You'd have Priester. You'd have Quintana. There, you only need 4, really, for a playoff run for any series. You can go with 4 starters.
And then you have a back end of the bullpen with Chapman and Bednar.
You have Justin Wilson still hanging around. You have Big Tim Mason, Caleb Ferguson.
The one that got me was Justin Brule.
That's a great
on
one.
On the Blue Jays
just
roster.
Snuck in there.
Just a guy who was one of those COVID-era Pirates on horrible, horrible teams.
He's
who would come into games on a Tuesday night with very few people there and throw 1 or 2 meaningless innings, and now he's on a playoff team, a team that
champion finished
exactly with the most wins in the American League and in their bullpen.
And then Nick Mears was a guy who only had a cup of coffee with the Pirates.
Of course he's a Brewer.
These are immaculate grid specials right here. Which one of these guys' success in not success in every case, like it's not like Key Brian Hayes turned into Scott Rolen or something, or Mike Schmidt with the Reds. Which guy are you most frustrated by seeing him do well enough to be on a playoff roster elsewhere? Because for me, right this second, prisoner of the moment, man, it's Priester by a mile.
Oh yeah, because he had such a he had a career year.
I think you could say Glasnow because they never unlocked him, but you could see the flashes were there. When Priester was here,
the injuries have just piled up so badly with him.
But when
too.
Priester was here, you didn't even see like the flashes. Like if anything, you scratched your head and went, "What did they see in this guy?"
I mean, Hedges was horrible here. We know it was the defense that kept him around, and I mean, his team is a great
clubhouse guy.
Yeah, his team's about to be eliminated. Unless the Guardians rally big time.
Everyone was happy to see Bednar get his moment in the sun last night. You know, pitching in a big game like that.
Out to Renegade.
Yeah.
I do find it kind of funny that no matter how that game goes tonight, a 2024 Pittsburgh Pirate will close it out. More than likely.
True.
Unless we get like a walk-off.
Pony, did you watch it? Did they like show video? Did Renegade get a pop from that Yankee Stadium crowd?
They didn't show it. They didn't show it on TV. But ESPN's handling of these playoff games is just so bad.
I mean, I think
it's just embarrassing. They don't make the games feel big at all. You got Carl Ravitch in his toupee calling the Yankees and Red Sox, Eduardo Perez is the color announcer.
He's wearing a rug?
The hell happened to Joe Buck and Tim McCarver?
I also
miss Buck's doing football.
I don't know why they don't make him do baseball.
I do think they should do that. I feel like part of the
I can tell you what happened to McCarver, and unfortunately we can't get him back.
Ravitch needs to sit in a Bristol studio with Peter Gammons and talk about highlights. He doesn't need to be doing Red Sox-Yankees playoff games.
Part of the big money deal with Joe Buck is that he should do baseball for them.
They sent him to Broncos Bengals instead. Come on now. What's a bigger game? Red Sox, Yankees in the playoffs, or watching Jake Browning? And what'd you say, Chris? Aikman was talking about the moon during the fourth quarter of that game?
That moon does a good job influencing the tides here on work. Let me tell you about the job the moon does keeping everything in line down here on terra firma.
I also missed the TBS coverage.
Well, that's coming back in the next round.
Okay. Ernie Johnson. Now, I know it's not always him, but like he always made things feel
Can you name
big.
The guys who called the two Turner wildcard games? With the Pirates, with the Reds game and the Cubs game.
Well, I know EJ did 13.
Yep.
You mean like the whole broadcast team?
I think it was the same both years. Okay. Because ESPN did the Bumgarner game.
Yeah, so Ernie Johnson would have been both.
The two color analysts.
The one is the Mets guy, is he not?
Uh-huh.
Ron Darling.
Yep.
Yeah.
Darling's terrific. I once had him on as a guest on the show. And asked one of the most rambling, terrible questions of all time, and he was such an unbelievable. I realized.
Imagine that Malzie remembers that like 12 years later. A bad question.
Still holds him down.
I was like in the moment asking the question, realizing it was crappy. I almost probably should have gone like, you know what? Let me start over again, Ron. This one sucks. And he could clearly see what I was trying to get at, and essentially just like gave me like a, you know how you like guess what the person wants to hear, and like gave me a real answer. So Ron Darling always been high on the Malzie power rankings.
Do you guys know
moment.
The other color
analyst? It wasn't Harold Reynolds, was it?
No.
No. Doug Glanville? No.
Uh-uh. That's ESPN.
No, I can't remember.
Cal Ripken.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Very forgettable.
Yeah, I feel like he didn't like chime in a ton. Like even though he was up in the booth, I feel like it's
Pony,
a lot of...
He sound... didn't chime, he just stood there and watched
Pony, this.
I
mean, Pony, this is going to crack
as
you
if,
up.
Like, he
I can't
was
even
really
imagine
playing...
his, I can't imagine his voice. You know how you can like hear Brady's voice, you're like, all right, or how Peyton Manning sounds, or even how Greg Olson sounds. You can hear it even when you're not listening to it. I couldn't tell you what the hell Cal Ripken sounds like.
I really feel like if you go back and watch that 2013 game, since that's the only one they won, it's the only enjoyable one to watch.
Uh-huh.
I just feel like he didn't say a ton compared to the, I mean, obviously Ernie Johnson's the play-by-play man, but it seems like Darling was like a 3-to-1 ratio in terms of color analysis.
Because well, I think Darling's like obviously the really good one at the job. I mean,
and Ripken's the name.
Yeah, exactly. That's like exactly right. You put the booth together, if it's a 3-man booth with a total pro on play-by-play, your really good analyst who's not a household name, who does it 162 times a year for the Mets, which is, while we're on the subject, SNY is by, I think, Pony, orders of magnitude, the best broadcast booth in the sport.
I'd say them and the Giants, San Francisco.
I mean, those...
They still have the same two, Pony?
Kuiper and Kruko, or Kruko and Kuiper?
Yeah.
Is the Mets
They're like old Muppets.
Is the Mets a three-man with Gary Cohen, Darling, and...
For big games, but they split the other games, and one guy does it, and the other
guy
gets the
Who's the third man
off.
Who's not Darling?
Keith Hernandez.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's right. I thought it was Keith. Yeah, I just think that that's the best booth in sports. And then, yeah, they bring Ripken in, like, hey, look, it's Cal Ripken. Yeah,
I think the guy who bugs me the most, who's an ex-Pirate who made the playoffs, is Andujar. So
because he became very good.
But even when he was here, now it wasn't a lot of at-bats, but listen to these numbers. So 30 games with the Pirates in 2023 before they cut him. They cut him the end of that year.
They cut him loose.
They cut him. 776 OPS, 106 OPS plus. So he's an above-average player who played for them that year. Multiple positions, right field, left field, designated hitter.
He hit four home runs in 90 plate appearances, which doesn't sound like an insane amount, but give him 500 plate appearances and multiply that number by five.
I mean, for the Pirates, it might as well be Barry Bonds.
Hell, give him 600 plate appearances, and the guy, when he actually got 600 plate appearances one time in his career with the Yankees, hit 27 bombs.
Hit 285 for the A's the next year, starts the season with the A's, then goes to Cincy. His OPS with the Reds after the trade deadline
this is hilarious.
Was 944.
Hilarious.
He hit like Ohtani.
You're right.
And Judge.
You're actually right to be most mad about him because it's not like
they got enough pitchers.
Pitching, right. Like they, Priester, if he had been this guy.
This guy
then
plays third
whatever.
Base too. He could be your third baseman right now. They don't have a third baseman going into the offseason. They don't have a left fielder.
Because they traded the really bad third baseman to the Reds where he even played better. As an offensive player.
I'm sorry. That's the guy for me that irks me and bugs me the most.
I think that's a pretty good
pick. It took
pick.
5 hours and 35 minutes, but host Pony finally came in and entered his body in producer Pony's chair right now.
I do think it has to be Priester as a pitcher, and it has to be Andujar.
Yeah.
You could make a good rotation and a good bullpen, and you could at least say we'll squint and try to get by with defense with the positions you do have filled out there.
Yeah, I mean, IKF,
that's the
Hayes.
Sad part. That's the really sad part.
Anyway. I mean, there are like three or four catchers on this list, but I think that's...
What was Pro Wrestling MVP is going to be about? I voted for that because of the sheer confusion of not knowing what the hell
there
that
is
was.
There is a pro wrestling podcaster, Chris Van Vliet.
Yeah, I know.
English guys. Bloke?
No, actually, he's just a regular old American man.
He kind of looks like central casting from a reality show.
Yeah, he's probably like mid to late 30s, I would guess. But he like dove into a topic about like what if they had MVPs and like you don't just pick the number one guy on the like Pro Wrestling Illustrated number like, you know, top 500 list. Like you either go year by year, you could go by decade, you can go by 5 years.
I mean, I think Stone Cold from 98 through 01 is having a Barry Bonds level run.
Yeah, that's why like it's tough to go just straight like 95 to 2000. I would still say Stone Cold, but there's so many other names you could throw
well,
in
if
there.
If you go year by year, I mean, somebody's got to be the Terry Pendleton in there and undeserving. Anyway. All right.
Coming up, a hodgepodge of nothingness. We give Pony a review for his day, for his work behind the glass. That is just a few minutes away, and then it is more of me at 6 o'clock. But first, Pony with a message for the people.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.